Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's show, I have a returning guest, Andrea Griffith-Cash, Vice President of Content for Chapel Hill Magazine, Durham Magazine, and the entire Shannon Media family of products, which include the Durham Visitors and Relocation Guide, Chapel Hill Visitors and Relocation Guide, Navigating Schools Annual Guide for Parents, and an annual Triangle Food Guide called Taste, which is the complementary publication to the company's food festival of the same name, which takes place every spring, and what Andrea is here to share information with us about today. Andrea is a graduate of High Point University in 2005, and she worked as an assistant editor of Our State magazine prior to moving to the Chapel Hill area in 2009. This festival that she's going to tell us about today, Taste 2015, in many ways brings the pages of the magazine to life. So, Andrea, tell us what's coming to life.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And yeah, it's a busy and exciting time at Durham Magazine and Chapel Hill Magazine. Taste is coming up April 23rd through the 26th. We have 6 events in 4 days.
And those events are on tastetheevent.com.
Yes. Find out all the information at tastetheevent.com. Also, Twitter, we're constantly tweeting out updates and the menus as they're coming in from the chefs. And our Twitter handle is at tastetheevent.
So, 4 events?
6 events.
6 events, 4 days.
Okay. So, do you want the rundown?
Yes. Run them down and explain how everything's working.
Okay. So, it all starts Thursday, April 23rd. Where you have a VIP reception that's hosted by Andrea Rusing. Of course, she's of Lantern here in Chapel Hill, but she's also opening, she's going to do the food at the Durham Hotel, the boutique hotel that's coming to downtown Durham. So the idea behind our VIP reception is that she's going to be giving a taste of her food at her new place, which of course no one's had yet.
Oh, wow.
And that VIP reception is going to be pretty intimate. I mean, you definitely will have access to Andrea Rusing. She'll sign cookbooks.
It's just buy a ticket and you can come to this event.
Exactly. Okay. And that is all taking place at Bar Lasconi, which is a great bar in downtown Durham on Main Street. It's owned by the same gentleman who owns Peccadillo here in Carrboro, if people are familiar with that. So then after the VIP reception, if you'd like, you can go to the Grand Taste Experience.
Okay.
And that's also Thursday, April 23rd at about 6:30, I believe. Maybe
that's what it says on the... Okay. She gave me a cheat sheet. Good. I'm writing the cheat sheet.
And that is our signature event. So this is our second annual Taste Food Festival. And most events we switch out. We don't do the same thing year after year. But the Grand Taste Experience we're going to always do. And that is really exciting. That is where you get to sample 20 of the area's best dishes, 20 of the area's best beverages, from coffee to beer to spirits. You will leave, as we say, Thanksgiving full.
Wear stretch pants.
Yes, and you will really just, you'll meet new chefs. You'll become familiar with restaurants you maybe haven't heard of before. So it is a good way, you know, speaking of like a cheat sheet, it's a good way to just kind of, okay, now I know what Mateo is. Now I know what Juan is. I've heard people talk about it, but right. Now I've been face-to-face with the chef. I've tasted that chef's food. And now I know I want to go make reservations for, you know, 2 Saturdays. Days from now.
Mateo won. What else?
So, oh my gosh, wonderful chefs. We have a lot of mainstay chefs who've been around the area for a very long time, as well as some new buzzworthy ones. So let me name some restaurants. Let me name drop. We have coming to that one, Mateo, Bassan, Juju, Primal. We have the Umstead, the Carolina Inn, Il Palio at the Siena Hotel. We have Blue Olive Bistro out of Durham. That new place that the News and Observer just named Restaurant of the Year, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Gocalina.
Sounds good to me.
Italian, wonderful Italian right. food, and Greg Cox from the News and Observer just named it the Restaurant of the Year. And I should mention, so three taste participants are 2015 James Beard semifinalists, and those are Mateo, which I've mentioned, coming right. to Grand Taste, La Farm Bakery out of Cary coming to Grand Taste, and the third one is Foggy Ridge Cider, and we'll talk about them in a minute, but they make wonderful hard cider. And then in terms of the beverages, I want to mention some of those folks. Carrboro Coffee, Topo Distillery, how do you say, it's Vigalis, the spirit out of Durham, that's really Brothers Vigalis.
Okay.
And we'll have wine distributors bringing their best wine. So it's really, it's just fun. There's live music. You walk around. You just go booth to booth, sample something.
You're making me hungry and thirsty.
I know. I know. We should not be talking about this before lunch.
At lunch.
But it's a great, you know, those tickets are $95. And if you think about that, I mean, it's a great date night or a great thing to go, you know, get a group of friends together.
Well, you're not going to get to taste 20 restaurants right. and 20 beverage samplings.
I mean, all those for folks 95 in the anywhere same else. Room. Right. That just doesn't happen that often. And this is all happening at the Durham Armory, which is in downtown Durham across from the Marriott.
So April 23rd, 6:30 p.m., the Durham Armory. The tickets are $95, and that's at TasteTheEvent.
TasteTheEvent.com. The VIP reception, those tickets, I should have mentioned, are $50.
Okay.
Again, TasteTheEvent.com. So you can do, so on Thursday, you can do one event or two events, but we hope you do at least one. And then we move on to Friday, which is the Foggy Ridge Cider Dinner at Sarah P. Duke Gardens. So Foggy Ridge, as I mentioned, they're in Virginia, but they're just north of the North Carolina-Virginia line.
Oh, and we'll claim them.
Yes. I mean, I think we should. And they just make wonderful cider. The New York Times called them America's favorite cider. They're the real deal. I mean, they've been doing this a long time. And so they're coming down. And, you know, we've heard of beer dinners and we've heard of wine dinners. You know, now we're doing a cider dinner. So Ricky Moore of Saltbox Seafood Joint, who has gotten all kinds of national acclaim, and he's amazing. And so is John Eisensmith of Six Plates in Durham. They're cooking pairing courses with Foggy Ridge ciders. And this is going to be elegant. This is our event that, you know, wear kind of your garden party dress. It's going to be beautiful, beautiful spring.
This is a great way to kick off, really welcome spring, and the weather should be better
by
then.
We're all done hibernating. Let's get out, have some fun, see some friends. And that's going to be a four-course, elegant, wonderful meal. Then moving on to Saturday, something a little more casual kicks off Saturday. We have our Burger Smashdown at Full Steam. So, you know, Full Steam's a brewery in Durham that is really family friendly. You go in there, you can play games, you know, you can kind of have your baby with you if you want and play a board game and have a beer. And so this is a family friendly event. The best burger makers in the area, Buns, Al's Burger Shack, Only Burger, Maddie B's, and Tyler's Tap Room are going to kind of face off. And Full
Steam. It's a cook down.
It is. And Full Steam's pairing beer.
Oh,
and
okay.
So each of those restaurants I mentioned, they're going to do a burger and a side. And this is not just like fries. I mean, this is, they're getting really creative with this. And so you get to taste them all. Of course, we're doing smaller burgers because nobody can eat five huge hamburgers. And then there's going to be a People's Choice Award. There's going to be live music.
So it's kind of like a tasting menu of burgers. You're going to taste five different burgers with five different sides, and then get to pick what one you love.
Yes. So this is definitely for burger lovers. It's also for families. I mean, we have this is our one event where we have ticket prices for children. Because it's just a great way for them to kind of burn some energy
and
run around.
That's the middle of the day. Starts at 12:30 on Saturday, April 25th.
So yes.
That's definite family fun on
definitely
Saturday.
Definitely family. Great way to, hopefully the weather's going to be gorgeous and we're just going to enjoy it. And then that evening, you're going to want to take the kids home and get a sitter.
It's mom and dad time.
Come to the Artisan Cocktail Dinner. That's at the Cookery, which is that cool, it's a commercial kitchen space for a lot of folks, but it's also an event space. And that's also in downtown Durham. Every event is taking place in Durham. So our Artisan Cocktail Dinner, these wonderful bartenders, they represent Alley 26, Bar Lasconi, Revolution, Nana's and Nana Steak, and Piedmont. They are really the stars of this. So they're going to make their most creative cocktails, and we're going to get to sample that. And then Piedmont and Revolution are doing some food, and then there's a DJ, and so
that's DJ and dancing. So this is a good night out for mom and dad.
Yes, absolutely. And so,
or anybody else.
And something I should mention here is, You know, the reason we're doing Taste is our magazines, Durham Magazine and Chapel Hill Magazine, we're just constantly covering our food scenes. I mean, we talked about
It's mainstream activity in the area.
Every conversation around here tends to center around, you know, what's the new restaurant? What are you getting at the farmer's market right now?
Or are you going to have a business meeting? Where are you going to go to eat?
Right.
Let's just say people don't stay in their conference rooms anymore. We meet in the restaurants to have.
So these are foodie towns. And so we feel like they deserve, first and foremost, they deserve foodie magazines, which we've delivered. And
speaking of which, you have a magazine that accompanies this too.
Yes.
Special publication.
So we have a special publication. It came with our April issue of Durham Magazine and our April issue of Chapel Hill Magazine, and that's called Taste, the Triangle's Ultimate Food Guide. And so that's just all food content. I mean, our magazines have a lot of food content, but of course it's mixed in with other things, you know, events going on and home and garden stories and weddings. But this Taste publication is all food, and you'll find recipes in there.
Oh, the pictures are gorgeous.
30 plus local chefs. I'm talking, you know, Amy Turnquist and Ricky Moore of Saltbox Seafood, and really just wonderful people. And really, they did a really good job, I think, of catering to the home cook. They're great recipes, but they're ones that you can actually make.
Yeah, it's like, here's one. Pork Belly Hoppin' John by Donovan's Dish, T.J. Donovan.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's got some ingredients, but it doesn't look complicated, and it's not something weird that you're going to be hunting, you know, all over the internet for somebody to ship it to you.
And what I love about that, too, is they tell a little personal story in there. Brendan Cox, the chef at Oakleaf, I believe he submitted his grandmother's yeast roll recipe. So it just is a good way to get to know them as people, because obviously these chefs are, you know, they're mostly back in the kitchen making us happy day to day, but they have their own stories to tell, and we tried to do that. So, but also in the Taste publication, you'll find, you know, food events that happen every year that you just really need to look out for. Save the date. Don't miss them. You're going to find there's a Q&A with Ashley Christensen of Raleigh, because she won the 2014 James Beard for Best Chef in the Southeast. And, of course, we wanted to hear from her about that and how that's changed her world, if that's changed her world. We have – what I love is we have the ultimate grocery – it's how to buy groceries locally. Because one thing I've really noticed is as our restaurants have gotten better and better – now we have all these food artisans, you know, making peanut butter and cheese and, you know, spice sauce.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to have those massively produced, manufactured shelf stuff that lasts for 20 years. Yeah. We go and get the local.
If you really put your mind to it, I mean, you can buy, there's power bars that are made locally. There's dog treats made. I mean, you could buy everything in your pantry locally and in your fridge. So we take a look at that, too. And
that brings us to the last event you have.
Yes.
Roots of North Carolina Dinner.
Yes. So the Roots of North Carolina Dinner, this is for the foodies who are also history buffs. Amy Turnquist of Watts Grocery, her family has been in North Carolina for something like 300 years.
Oh, wow.
No joke. So who better to tell the story of North Carolina's food history than Amy? And so she's going to create a 3-course menu with wine pairings that tells the story of, you know, kind of how we got here.
Right.
Why are these the ingredients that you think of when you think of North Carolina? Why are these the dishes that you think of? I know the menu is going to include cheese straws as a kind of hors d'oeuvre, fish stew, braised pork belly with sorghum apples, and then for dessert, her signature caramel cake. And then in between courses, Marcy Cohen Ferris, who's a wonderful historian, and she works over here at UNC, but she's the author of The Edible South, The Power of Food and the Making of an American Region. And so she's going to, you know, in between courses, kind of talk to us about how we got here and what it means to say this is a North Carolina dish or this is a North Carolina ingredient.
Right.
So all these events... 6 events, as I said, and it's really something for everybody. I think it's, you know, when I think of my own friends, it's like, okay, you know, this event's, you know, I have a history buff friend. He should go to the Roots dinner. And then my own husband, he always likes to make different cocktails. So he's probably most excited about the artisan cocktail dinner because he just, he never wants to drink the same cocktail twice.
And my mom's a burger fan, so the burger smashed down.
Yeah, my little nephew is 4, and so I'm going to take him to the burger smash down. And the grand taste experience would be the one that's a little bit like one size fits all, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, except the kids. Yeah, not the kids, but. I think
there are some 12-year-old foodies out there that might be good. They just can't drink.
Yes. The Grand Taste is the one that there's something for everybody there. Whatever's your speed, you know, if you want to kind of get dressed up and have a date night, you probably want to go to the cider dinner or the artisan cocktail dinner. But to tell you a little bit about how we got here, I did want to mention with the artisan cocktail dinner, in September of the September issue of Durham Magazine, I did a story that was a Q&A with your friendly local bartenders. And so these 5 bartenders who are going to be at our artisan cocktail dinner were in that story. And it was a really fun, we didn't take ourselves too seriously when we sat down to do the Q&A. We talked about, what's the drink that I could order that you would judge me for? You know, if I came in and ordered, a White Russian, would you judge me? Or is that okay with you? You know, and what are you seeing in terms of trends when it comes to drinks? An overarching theme of this year's taste is beverages, because I think as our food scene is getting better now people are saying, okay, I know the ingredients in this, lovely plate of pork belly, this pork belly dish. What's in my drink? Did you make the tonic for my gin and tonic? Did you make the simple syrup? Are you picking local mint to put
in my mint julep? Is this an organic slice of lemon? Those kind of things, right?
So beverages are kind of next. I know Shannon Healy, who owns Alley 26, he's one of our bartenders, and he said to me in that Q&A, people really care about where they're eating. And they want to go to an excellent restaurant. They should have an excellent bar to go to as well. So he's all about the craft cocktail,
Well, and it's like even we mentioned Primal is going to be doing some of participating in the events. And that's gluten-free. And so for a lot of people who want to drink and they have to be gluten-free, there aren't a lot of options unless you're buying it yourself and you're taking it with you. I mean, a few of the places. But to know you can go somewhere and have a gluten-free meal and getting gluten-free beverages, that's something we haven't had in the area either.
Well, and I think people still need to find out about things. I mean, for me, it's easy for me to say, oh, yeah, I've heard of all these places. But not everyone has, because people are busy and they're...
Or you're driving down the road and you see it and you think, I'm going to go back there. And then you're just like, when you go to plan for dinner, it's like, where was it I said I was going to go? I don't remember. So you go someplace you've been before.
You tend to go back to the same 5 restaurants, right? Because you know the menu.
Especially me.
You know they have maybe crayons for your kids. And
the music's not too loud, or it is loud. Whatever it is.
Fast service, reliable. So I think this is a good way to, let's not take it for granted. We have an amazing food scene, but make sure you're taking advantage of it. Make sure.
Well, and it's what the taste publication that you put out. That's fun to see the different, spotlights on the ads of the different restaurants and what's there. Because a lot of them, it's like I'm flipping through here and I'm like, well, I didn't know that was there. That was where it was. I'd heard of it, but,
They do a really good job, the clients and our art team in those ads, to set each restaurant apart. What's your message? Are you a seafood place? Are you farm to table? Are you, sushi? It's a really good way to quickly familiarize yourself.
And then you're looking at Chapel Hill Toffee or you're looking at Shanghai. And you can flip through here and say, okay, and then you can keep this, right? So this is the taste. This is the aftertaste, because you're going to have it even after the event.
Well, I think especially with those 30-plus recipes, that's going to be in people's kitchens and on their coffee tables for a really long time. I've heard from a lot of readers. It's been really gratifying. They've said, I tested. I made a lot of the recipes already. They're so great. Thank you so much.
Well, it's like the stinging nettle soup that's in here, the recipe for that. I mean, that's right on trend, cooking with nettles and the gathering of things that are in your community, the fern fiddleheads and that kind of stuff that you can go out and forage for yourself if you know what you're doing.
I think that says a lot about our chefs. They submitted things that are timely, not too over people's heads. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. Seasonal, and although that is an annual guide, but I think you can tell they geared it toward spring, which is when it came out. So
But it's like the things of stinging nettles. I mean, they were just literally a pain when we were growing up climbing the hills and things. And then now you can go out and wear your gloves if you're going to harvest them and then make dinner out of them. Yeah. I mean, it's just fun to see that evolution. And we both grew up in West Virginia. And the things that we grew up as just normal food is now, you know, the morel mushrooms that we would go out and pick.
That's supposed to be a huge trend in 2015 is Appalachian. Uh-huh. Seriously, and because someone asked me about it, and I thought, I'm not sure I really completely know what that means. But, I mean, I know I was just somewhere, and ramps had come in that
right.
day.
Right, I mean, remember the ramp dinner.
And that was on the menu, and they were spectacular because they were cooked brilliantly. It was.
But it's so funny to see the foods that we grew up with, which were organic. They were out there. They were foraged for. The morel mushrooms, $50 a pound, you know, when you go into rabbit. I mean, all of these things that were just our natural food choices in different parts of the country now are becoming mainstream.
I think Southern food and Appalachian, I know that gets into mid-Atlantic food, but it's getting a lot of respect that I think it's always deserved. I mean, I think in the 80s and 90s, everyone thought, oh, Southern food, you know, you cook everything with a can of mushroom soup.
It's all grits. It's all red-eyed gravy. It's all sweet tea. And it's all barbecue. Right.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, all Southern food is it's always been, you know, go to the garden, get some green beans.
Right.
Go to the garden, get your tomatoes and make dinner. And, you know, what's better than that? I mean,
it was fresh. We were organic before it was,
right. We didn't call it that. It was just go out to the garden, pick dinner.
Right.
So it's nice to see it getting that. I think it's kind of hot right now. And I hope it stays that way. I hope it's not. But I think we have such good chefs. They're going to keep it there. Right. They're going to keep it.
Well, I think because there are so many great chefs, there's going to be that challenge, that competition of the friendly competition of,
they're
doing this.
Better.
So, yeah. So, you know. When you got good people around you, you have to keep getting better to stay, you know, right there competing with them and things. So I think it's fun to see how this is breaking out.
Yes, and the Roots of North Carolina dinner, kind of getting back to the magazine content, is we had done a story on Amy Tornquist. She was actually on the cover of our first ever women's issue in 2013. And that through that story, we discovered, my gosh, her family's been in North Carolina 300 years. She was born in Durham. I mean, she said in that story, people say, you know, you play that game, what would you do if you won $1 million? She said, I would just fix up my house, but I'd stay right where I am. And that's kind of how we selected her for the Roots of North Carolina dinner. So you can see that the Taste Festival coming up April 23rd through the 26th is just an extension of our magazines. It's kind of the magazine readers now become the ticket holders of Taste, the guests at Taste who were going to, you know, make sure leave really satisfied.
Well, the magazine's just coming to life. The readers become attendees. The
advertisers in a lot of cases are the chefs, although there are plenty of non-advertising chefs in this.
Well, and the feature story people. I mean, you start now, it literally is you're going to meet your neighbor that you've read about. You're going to eat at that table that they're preparing the great meal, and you're going to drink something that they've created and are very proud of.
And this has been a lot of work bringing all this together, but at the end of the day, you know, we're publication people first and foremost, so it's interesting. I've got this event is about 9 days away, and I've got 2 May issues of magazines to go to press before then. So it's going to be a busy 9 or 14 days here. But it's a lot of work, but we did it because we just felt like this area deserves it. We want to show off a little bit these great chefs who we've come to know and really love and respect. And our readers, they deserve these fun events to go to. And it just hopefully is an extension of our brand in that it's just going to raise the profile of the area that much more. We've gotten some coverage in the Huffington Post already and Local Palette, which is the Southern food magazine. And I'm waiting to get an email from maybe a national magazine might be coming. And so it's a rising tide lifts all boats. It helps us, but it helps these chefs, these beverage makers.
Well, and to be able to showcase the James Beard Award winners and nominees and what everyone's doing, because we are busy. We do tend to go to the same place and do the same things just because it's comfortable. And we kind of need to broaden our taste buds and our wings, too, and try different things and cross over the borders, you know, from Chapel Hill to Durham or Cary to Durham or Come to Cary, we've got the Umstead.
A lot of folks from Cary and Raleigh are buying tickets because I think what we didn't necessarily think about, but it makes complete sense, is they don't have access to these restaurants on a daily basis. So they're seeing this event lineup and they're going, sign me up for the Grand Taste Experience because I've been meaning to try this place, that place, and the other place for months.
Right.
But I live, you know, 25 miles away.
Well, and you kind of think about it because it's, I said there just seems to be almost a wall at a certain exit that whenever you're thinking of dinner, you're not going to drive back to where, even if you worked in Durham, you went home, you're not going to drive back over. It's just not what we logistically do. We're not in Texas where they drive 250 miles for dinner. But, I mean, it's just, that's what we do. We eat in the town we tend to live in. And
yeah.
So that's why it's like crossing over. You have to think of, okay, this is an event that's going to draw me into Durham.
I know one thing. I've really been trying to get to Raleigh more just out of interest, just out of curiosity. I mean,
you can be there 3 days apart and it's completely different. Durham's the same way. You're driving down the road and there's something else being built or some new this is going in or that. So it's, you know, 2 days or it doesn't seem like, you know, let 2 days go by and there's another restaurant popping up.
I keep going to new restaurants and I need to remember to get back to my favorites because, you know, they obviously need my support too. And there's just, it's a good problem to have. There's so many good places.
I know. I moved here almost 20 years ago and I had Thai food while I was in Detroit that I became addicted to. And finding a Thai restaurant meant driving to Raleigh or to Chapel Hill at the time that had authentic Thai. And now we can find authentic Thai all over the place. So it's just that, you know, we're getting Cuban food. We're getting all of the different nationalities coming in and influencing our food scene, too.
It's kind of like Indian food in Chapel Hill. I mean, within a stone's throw of this studio, there's 4 really great Indian restaurants. So it's, yeah. I think, you know, this is where the universities help us because our population, we have really a diverse group of people living in these areas, and the diners want a unique experience. They're not looking for, oh, I just want to go somewhere and get some meatloaf, you know, every time I go out to eat and some macaroni.
But if you do, there are places
for
that.
Sure, sure. Right? But you can really mix it up.
Yeah. And you might get meatloaf, but it may be some exotic combination of meats and seasonings.
Grass-fed
kind of
beef.
Yeah, love the grass-fed beef. So if we go to the website, we're going to see all of these laid out. Nothing's sold out yet, correct?
It's not, although
it's getting
something
close.
That's been really interesting for us is we're publication people, and so we have our wonderful sales team has sold ads. As I sit here today, they've sold ads into 2016 and 2017, so we're used to doing things a little more in advance, and we're sitting here going, oh, yeah, I guess that does make sense. People don't buy tickets for April 23rd until around now. We, of course, wanted everyone to buy them up in January, and they didn't do that, and I totally understand because I don't do that in my own personal life either. But now they're going kind of like gangbusters.
Right.
So
tasty.
I would say the ones that are, you know, like there's a smaller capacity on things like the Roots of North Carolina dinner and even the Burger Smashdown and the Foggy Ridge Cider dinner. The Grand Taste Experience, we can fit a lot of people. That's going to really feel like a party. And of course, we did this last year and it's great because it's a lot of people, but it's a lot of space. So you don't have to wait for food. There's none of this, okay, let me stand in
for 3 hours
for
to
Mateo's
get it, right?
Food.
Yeah, right.
No. You walk up, get a plate, you know, take the 4 bites because these are small plates, and then kind of you're on to the next one. You almost have to force yourself to slow down a little bit.
You can't do a second lap.
Oh, you sure can. You sure can, but you might need to, like, call into work the next day if you're, you know, still on the couch or something full. But yeah, so all these events, it's just a couple clicks away, tastyevent.com, really easy. I mean, we all have bought things online, so, and they're all emailed tickets.
Okay.
So I guess the message is, although I want you to buy them early, theoretically, you could buy them next Thursday and they're emailed right to you and you can show up an hour later with ticket in hand. So.
And so that is the directions to each event, venue, all that kind of stuff
is
on the website too.
Yes, times, dates. All of that. And like I said, our Twitter, we really, as we're getting closer, it's getting really exciting. The chefs are kind of unveiling their menu and we're putting things on there on our Twitter, like, you know, these are our silent auction items and just all kinds of little nuggets of information for anyone who's planning to join
us. Well, and the people who are normally supporting the restaurants anyway, they're regular fans of Mateo's or Maddie B's or Primal. Get your ticket now because you get to go in and try their food. Support yes. who you like. And then
that's something awesome. Else. The restaurants are really driving a lot of this traffic, of course, because we've given them materials. They got posters in their windows. They have flyers on the counter. And yeah, fans, you know, diners are extremely loyal around here. And especially with something like where someone's headlining, like the Roots of North Carolina Dinner with Amy Turnquist. I mean, people love Amy Turnquist and they will show up to anything she does. If they're in town, you know.
Right. I mean, or even if they're out of town, they might come back.
Change plans.
So we're going to take a quick break and thank our sponsors and get some information on our lovely nonprofits in the area. And we'll be right back.
WCOM-FM and Focus on Business are proud to support Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina, serving the Triangle. Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina is your community Make-A-Wish. To learn more about what Make-A-Wish is doing, visit their website at www.eastnc.wish.org. That's www.eastnc.wish.org, or give them a call at 1-800-432-WISH. That's 1-800-432-9474. Focus on Business and WCOM-FM are proud to support the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. To learn more about the Ronald McDonald House of Durham, visit their website at www.ronaldhousedurham.org. That's www.ronaldhousedurham.org. Or give them a call at 919-281-1065.
Focus on Business and WCOM-FM would like to thank Focus Resources for underwriting the Focus on Business radio program. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. And we're back with Andrea Cash of Durham and Chapel Hill Magazines. And Andrea, I have to ask, what's coming up next for next year? When do you start planning? All of those kind of things. Well, this was a logistical challenge.
A lot of things happen just in tandem all the time. So right now we're putting the finishing touches on our two women's issues. So in Durham, we have about a dozen remarkable women. And then in Chapel Hill, we have a different set. You know, we have a dozen remarkable women. And it's interesting. We've been doing this for a few years and people ask me, are you going to run out of amazing women? And the answer is nope.
No, there's only about a million of them in the area.
There's a lot. And I just continue to be surprised. Last week I interviewed a soprano in Durham she was a soprano at the Met for years and she lives in Durham. I mean, it's just this amazing operatic soprano. And, you know, but also women in business
right.
and women in at the universities. And nonprofit, just, you know, people who really kind of give their lives to help others. And I'm interviewing today at about 2:30, a very prominent woman in Chapel Hill. So it's a pretty big deal for the magazine. So we got the women's issues coming up right now. The voting is open for the Best of Chapel Hill.
So explain how that works.
And the Best of Durham. So if you go to durhammag.com for Durham and chapelhillmagazine.com for Chapel Hill, you can vote for, you know, favorite. We're talking about food a lot today, so favorite sushi, favorite place for a date night. But then also home and garden, my favorite home and garden store, my favorite place to buy a gift, favorite
Your favorite
park.
Radio station?
Sure. Favorite park, favorite neighborhood, all of these best of categories. And by the way, just so people know, you can skip over a lot. I mean, if you want to go just for the sole purpose of
voting for one
business, you can do that and then leave if you want. But obviously, we hope you take the time to be thoughtful about each category.
Well, and it'd be kind of fun to look down to see who's nominated for the best. It is. It kind of gives you another flavor of the town.
That's getting to the point where the ballot is up is a big deal for us, because there's just a lot of conversations that happen in our office, you know, and we do timely things. So best new restaurant, you know, best new home. And so we have to think, well, gosh, when did that open? Was that a year ago? And we have to.
Do you set time frames for that kind of thing? So
it's somewhat loose, but I mean,
it's not in the last 5 years.
Right. The general idea is since we did the best of last time. You know, in the past year.
So all of the nominee or ballot people are come up by your team at the magazine?
There's a lot of conversations that happen. We're really careful about it, because once it goes live, you can't change it. So it's obviously a bit of a landmine for forgetting someone and then going, oh, of course they should be nominated for that. How could we have forgotten that? And so we're really careful about it, and it goes through several iterations. But the other thing that is important for people to remember is you can write in on any category. So like best sandwich. I mean, my gosh, you know, practically every restaurant has a sandwich, and they're not all nominated, but if we left yours off the list,
you can write it in.
Right. And people have had very successful write-in campaigns in the past.
Well, it'd actually almost be fun to engage your customers with that, and saying, well, we're not on there, but we want to be on there. Well, so, you know, go in.
That's something that definitely these businesses... they've got to kind of mobilize their fans, right?
Right.
They got to put signs up, and they have to send out, newsletters to their email list and say, please vote, please, please. Of course, they have to kind of walk that line of they don't want to annoy their customers, but people have fun with it, I think, and they're happy to support. I mean, this all goes back to, why do we do that? Because people are so passionate about this area.
Right.
And so they don't just shop somewhere. They love to shop somewhere. They're really, and they tell their friends to shop there. And it's, don't do anything passively, you know?
That whole psychological dynamic of it validates when other people agree, right?
Yes.
And so you want everyone to taste it and agree, or shop at that store and agree it's the most wonderful handbag store or whatever it is in the area. And so that's just the way we make a community, too. And it's different connections, because somebody that you go into restaurants and you can see a biker and you can see a professor.
Yes.
Right? You can see a CEO of one of our major companies at the same restaurant, enjoying the same food and having conversations about it.
I've always said food's a great uniter in that way, because you could be, you know, you could make $1 million a year and you still might like to eat food out of a food truck.
Right.
Or at a hole in the wall.
Food trucks are just like, I mean, that's the other trend that we're seeing out there, is that, you know, taking the gourmet food to the food truck. I mean,
but what's also great about it, what I love about it, is it's a good stepping stone, because you're seeing a lot of those food trucks are then opening brick and mortar stores.
Right.
But it's kind of a great, like, they can test the waters. They can make sure that they really have a viable product.
Different neighborhoods. Who likes their food? What's the buzz? They can build their social media. They can, you know, build their followers. They can do all that with the major investment of gas in the truck.
And then I think they can launch their brick and mortar more confidently. Because the one thing I hate to see is when someone, you know, upfits a space and turns it into a restaurant, and then they only last a few months because they think they just get swallowed up in.
Well, and
there's a lot of factors they weren't maybe counting on.
Well, and it's like when we're consulting with those on that, it's like, okay, how many people can you legally seat in here? How much space do you have to have for this? How many times you have to turn over this chair? How much is your food cost going to be? Where are you going to, you know, it's all those kind of things, and they don't always plan that out. And they don't source it. And that's why...
it's hard to see the future. You
magazines
know?
Are so... not magazines, but restaurants are one of the highest fail rates. It's because of regulations, you know, the health codes, staffing, your recipes, competition. You got to do the marketing. You got to do all of that.
I think that the restaurants who are good at it make it look really easy, mm-hmm. and make the rest of us think, oh, I should open a restaurant. My husband's a really good cook, and people are always telling him, you should open a restaurant.
And they should tell him to get a food truck.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep my day job and just enjoy dining at restaurants because he's kind of like, I know that's harder than they make it look. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of turnover with, you know, just right. It's hard to kind of find good people, keep good people.
Well, I mean, it's just the dynamics. I mean, I have to admit I'm fascinated with all the restaurant rescue shows and all that kind of stuff. Because that real, and I have clients watch those just like I have them watch Shark Tank to learn, okay, they're going to ask you real questions and you have to have real answers. But to realize why things fail and what's not getting controlled. And I think if they sit down and watch some of those shows, they get a reality check before they're going to open. But we're really lucky here. I mean, I can think of one location in Cary. Again, I moved here almost 20 years ago. That there for a while, a restaurant would go in every 6 months or so. And so it was just like that location or whatever, but it turned out it wasn't the location. There's a restaurant doing banging business now. Nice. And they've been there for like 5 or 6 years now. And, you know, and it wasn't the location. And so it's just one of those dynamics.
I think a lot of that is the people in charge are really their career food service industry people. I mean, they're professionals. They know what they're doing. That was something, going back to that Q&A I did with those bartenders, is that was a topic of conversation. I said, what do you say when someone asks you, what do you do? Because so many of them were bar owners. Right. They said, I say I'm a bartender because that's how I identify myself. Like, I feel no shame in that. That this is a skill. This is a craft. Not everyone can do it. Certainly not everyone can do it when there's 50 people barking orders at you. You know, it's a busy Saturday night and you can keep cool under pressure.
And there's 3,000 different drinks of, you know, from your White Russian to your, you know, all of these fancy margaritas and tonics.
And you have to know all of that. And they did say that they face a lot of someone will come in and, you know, to a high-end restaurant, sit down at the bar and say, oh, I used to be you. I bartended in college. And they're kind of going, yeah, you're not. I mean, that's not really the same thing. I'm an adult. I've been doing this for 20 years. This is my kind of life's work.
But that is one of those professions that everybody thinks, well, anybody can be a bartender.
See, and that's why I think they make it look too easy. They need to sweat a little more.
I think it's evolved, too. I mean, from the time, I think the movie Cocktail, that was probably before your time. But from that movie, people started getting an inkling that there was something else going on there, you know, and it started becoming more of a profession and not just a job you took while you were
temporary
in college
thing.
Or anybody could do to fill in. And that's also the make or break between some of the businesses. If they think the food and I just have to have somebody in the bar.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a professional bartender. I just need somebody to mix some drinks.
I mean, front of the house is really important. And I think that's something else again, the rising tide lifts all boats as the kitchens have gotten better in this area and just better and better. And just when you think they can't improve anymore, they somehow raised the bar. But the front of the house is now, you know, we're very sophisticated around here when it comes to how to serve someone, how to talk, you know, the servers know how to talk to you about what's on the menu, how it's prepared.
It, right?
Yes. How to pair a beverage with it. Things are just getting better and better in terms of all of that. And I think that the talented people are attracting more talented people.
Well, I think we also have a shifting population here. People travel more. They try more foods when they're traveling by bent or inclination. They watch the food shows on TV and they see the chefs and how things are prepared and they get exposed to different, you know, ingredients that now they'll want to try. I mean, the show before this one today is on Say Yes to the Chef. I heard them talking about how people wouldn't want to try an ingredient before. You know, whether it's, you say kids are hard to get to try things, adults are too. And now they're willing to try because they're seeing that exposure and they're seeing the beautiful pictures online and they're getting to know the chefs at events like the Taste event. And so it just creates a different dynamic in the area.
Well, you need three parties involved, right, for this to work. You need amazing farmers, you need amazing chefs, and you need amazing diners, because if the people don't come and they don't sit down and they don't say, you know, I'm willing to spend a couple extra bucks for the tomato that hasn't been on the back of a truck for 20 days.
It tastes like
days,
a tomato and doesn't
right.
taste like
water.
If we're lucky, it tastes like water.
If we didn't have this population, it would all crumble. So again, that's kind of where the Taste 2015 Food Festival, it's like a celebration of all of that. It's it's, you know, the chefs are great, but so are
the farmers market, the diners, the demand.
It's all working together.
That dynamic that's there.
It's all working together, yeah.
So you're 9 days away from it, and then you're going to do this again next year. Do you know where it's going to be located next year, as into which? Is it Chapel Hill? Is it Durham?
Well,
is
the
it,
reason we're kind of going more in the direction of Durham is I do think it's becoming a little bit of a center of gravity. I mean, I'm feeling that. I mean, and even these hotels are coming to Durham. 21C is another Taste participant, and they're in the Taste 2015 publication, and that just opened.
Right.
That's really cool. If you haven't gone to check out the public art galleries, I really encourage you to do that. It's just free. You can just walk in on a Saturday afternoon and check out this really great art and maybe go to the bar and have a drink or have, you know, meet a friend. But I think, you know, Durham has a little bit more event space for us.
Right, it's larger.
It's got, and people are gravitating more toward it. But we, of course, have a lot of Chapel Hill and Carver participants. Acme right down the street's coming to the Grand Taste, for example. And, of course, Andrea Roosing of Lanterns hosting that VIP reception. So, in terms of next year, we haven't gotten that far. I know we're going to do it, and I think we're going to really look at – so our foodie issues of the magazines come out in August, September timeframe. Okay. And those are going to kind of move the needle in terms of Taste 2016, just as the Q&A with the bartenders, if you think about it, it kind of set us on this trajectory to be more beverage focused. So now we've got the Artisan Cocktail Dinner, the Foggy Ridge Cider Dinner. So I think it kind of remains to be seen. I am open to ideas, and it's really fun to sit back and kind of watch what happens. I mean, that our food scene is moving so fast. Right. I think we might, you know, by September.
So are you already working on the September publication?
To a degree. I mean, we kind of are always working on everything all the time. Today, I'm not going to do a lot of work on the September publications.
That's
I'll
the
be
nature
honest.
Of publication. You'll be doing the May. And again, you have food-related topics in most of the magazines each issue, right?
Yes. I mean, we do that. People never get tired of reading about food. We never get tired of photographing, writing about food. We try to be a real insider guide. So in the case of Durham Magazine, the April issue has 3 new Asian restaurants on the cover.
Because I have it right here.
It really struck me that this winter, kind of between December and February, Juju, Basan, and Dashi opened to crazy buzz. I mean, people were just going crazy for these places, and they're all Asian themed. And I just thought, okay, like, you know, I can, that's a pattern that I should address and we should kind of talk about. And of course, Dashi is making ramen in downtown Durham, and that's really the Triangle's first ramen place.
I mean, that's kind of appropriate for all of the universities in the area, kids living on ramen noodles.
Yeah. And I mean, people who have done a lot of traveling know what it's like to really have a good bowl of ramen. So you'll see on the cover there, what is that dish description? It's
miso ramen bowl.
Yes. So you see a lot of bright. There's like
fresh garden
fresh
peas,
ingredients.
It looks like some sprouts.
This is not your dorm room ramen. Yeah. And then Basan's doing really great sushi. That chef. I mean, he's from Japan. He knows the guy who was in the Netflix documentary, mm-hmm. Nero, the sushi documentary about Nero. And then Juju that's from the people who brought you Jujubee in Chapel Hill, but that's Asian tapas, small plates. And that is so fun to go in there and share, you know, and you kind of order it in waves. You know, you order 2 plates.
Well, again, it's
those
that,
two come
that,
out.
That
you order
sense
two more.
Of family community across the table.
Yeah, so really good dumplings and they have the Jujubee bolognese that a lot of people are familiar with. You can get that at Juju. They have a really good ahi tuna over there. So people love food, and we love it too. And so we try to have our finger on the pulse of what's going on all the time.
Well, and you're talking about different restaurateurs and things having multiple locations. And so I mean, that just says how passionate they are about what they're doing, how successful they've been at it. And so like Primal and Blue Seafood is owned by the same person. And then so the Lantern and her.
She's going to open at the Hotel Durham, Andrea Rusing. And then I just mentioned Jujubee and Juju, but Charlie Deal also has Dos Perros in Durham, and that's, you know, Mexican fare. And so, and I think that says a lot about their dedication to the area, that they're here to stay.
Right.
They're here to kind of be an economic force.
Well, and we get to see even the little small cafes, like a Nantucket cafe that starts with one location and has five, or a Greek Fiesta, which is, I guess, technically a version of fast food. But they go from one restaurant to nine or some in the area. And so you see that dynamic that you're saying you're playing out of success breeding success, right, and different tastes and different flavors. And
Chapel Hill Restaurant Group owns 411 West down the street, Spanky's just down the street from that, Squids. They have Mez. I go to Mez a lot because my husband works near there, and we go for like taco night. It's happy hour from 5 to 6 or 4 to 6 maybe. It's really like $2 tacos.
And each of those venues, I mean, some of those venues have like meeting space, again, for the community to be able to come in and say, well, we support you. We want to be able to have our events here. And I think that's really important to what's playing out, is that a restaurant is successful because of great chefs, the great bartender, location, but that connection.
Brand loyalty, I think. I mean, I think the diner's very aware. I think that's something that's cool about this area, is you don't just know who the chef is. You know who the owner is.
And you go in and you tend to see there's a little restaurant in Raleigh whose name escapes me. And one of my friends was telling me about it, but she said, you know, when we go in there, you're going to see everybody knows everybody else. It's a small spot place, and pretty much lunch every day is the same set of people.
Well, that's what's cool, is even as we're getting, you know,
bigger,
national acclaim and our population's growing. I mean, Wake County just had its 1 millionth resident, right? It's still kind of small town, South friendly.
Yeah, you don't have to give it up to have the great options to where to eat, what to do, and all of those kind of things.
You can kind of have it both ways, right?
Great. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you with an idea for a story or a chef, where would they send it?
So Andrea at ChapelHillMagazine.com, Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, at ChapelHillMagazine.com. I'm pretty easy to find. I welcome story ideas. I think I'm always looking around trying to find out, you know, kind of the insider stuff. But, of course, I need a lot of help with that. I'm only one person. And I have a great team that's always looking around. And I do want to mention also before that Taste 2015, our event planner this year is Grace Beeson of Grace Leisure Events, and she's really well known around the area. She was the person who planned Farm to Fork, that picnic, for years. She also, she's married to Maddie Beeson, and of course they have Maddie B's and Six Plates. And so she's brought a lot to this just because she's very much like in the food industry. She understands like what these chefs need. She's gotten a lot of them on board. I mean, we basically were bold enough to ask some very busy, very prominent chefs. And, you know, the worst thing they could do was say no. And they said yes. So that's been a really fun part of this, too. I just wanted to give a shout out to Grace and our whole team. We're all working on posters and programs and silent auction. And it's definitely a team effort.
Is a silent auction at any one event or at all the events, or what kind of?
So the silent auction is, I believe it's actually at the Grand Taste Experience. I could be wrong about that. I'm sorry. But
information's on the website.
Yes, that's on the website.
Taste the event.
And when you come to any of these events, you're going to get a program that kind of has all like, you know, maps of if you come to the Grand Taste, you're going to get kind of a map of where you're going to find your favorite restaurant and what your favorite beverage maker. So
that'll be fun. So the website again is tastetheevent.com.
Tastetheevent.com. April 23rd through the 26th. Six events, 4 days, amazing chefs, amazing beverage makers.
It kicks off essentially Thursday, the 23rd at 5 p.m. with the VIP reception with Andrea Rusing.
Right.
And then you can have fun that night. Continuing the fun at 6:30, go to the Durham Armory for the annual Grand Taste Experience, 40 of the best dishes and beverages to try. Then Friday, we are seeing Foggy Ridge Cider Dinner It's at 6:30 at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice to the pollen. Mm. And it's Rick Moore of Saltbox Seafood Joint and John Eisensmith of Six Plates doing the Foggy Ridge Cider.
That will be elegant and gorgeous and delicious. Yes.
That's date night.
Yes, date night. Wear your party dress.
And after you've had date night, the next day you got to spend some time with the friends and the kids and go to the Burger Smashdown at 12:30 Full Stream Brewery and try all these lovely little samples, little miniature sliders
and sides and full steam beer.
And then 7 p.m. that night at the Cookery, the Artisan Cocktail Dinner, which you said would be your husband's pick. There's DJ and dancing. We've got Bar Lasconi, Alley 26, Revolution Piedmont, and Nana Steak. And then the finale, Roots of North Carolina, with Amy Turnquist of Watts Grocery, Marcy Cohen Ferris giving us the history of North Carolina food, and Piedmont wine imports. So all of that information is on the tastetheevent.com site.
And Twitter. Follow us at tastetheevent. I was 4 Twitter followers away from 1,000 coming in here today. So let's see if we can get it over 1,000.
Let's see if we can hit 1,100. We'll be ambitious, not just over 1,000. And the May issue's coming out.
The May issues will be out around May 1st or May 5th. And, you know, our magazines are free around town. So you can just pick them up. I mean, if you see one on a rack, take it. I think sometimes people think they're shoplifting. They're free. If you can't find one, because they do go fast because they are free,
right,
you can always, go to our websites. You know, you can find us. We can get you a copy. We're kind of located near 15501 and Sage Road, very close to the Durham Chapel Hill line, up by I-40. So
that's cool. And is there anything special we need to look for in the May issues coming up that you can kind of tip us off about?
Well, so those are the women's issues. So, but I will tell you this, Durham, I'm going to isolate some people because not everyone's a Duke fan. Coach K wrote a piece for Durham May. I'm not joking when I say this. The day he traveled to Indianapolis to go to the Final Four, he submitted a story to me, and I thought, okay, well, he met his deadline. He can go coach basketball now. Good job, Coach K.
He got the important thing out of the way.
It was really important, and you know.
So, you gotta give him a little chance to put a footnote on it.
It's and so he's a national champion now, and I thought, okay, well, that's pretty cool. A national championship winning coach again, yet again for the fifth time. Has a byline in Durham Magazine, but it's all about his mother. It's very sweet. It's a Mother's Day tribute. Just saying that basically his mother's the best person he ever knew, and she made him what he is. So,
well, don't most of our mothers, for the good or the bad.
Yes.
Well, I want to give a shout out that we have a fundraiser. WCOM FM is community funded, so you keep us on the air. So at the Hickory Tavern on May 7th from 5 to 10 p.m., we are raising funds to keep WCOM funded, and we'd like to see you there. So come to the Hickory Tavern located in the Hampton Inn at 370 East Main Street in Carrboro and drop your receipt from the food or beverage sales of your choice, and 10% of that receipt that goes in the box will benefit WCOM FM radio. And until next time, everyone, stay focused on the important things.